The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what is happening, San Diego? A very pleasant Wednesday to you, wherever you may be out there. Gwen and Chris covering it from a couple of different states today. I'm in Reno, Nevada. Tony and Scraby in the Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego, California. Gwen and Chris is on the air, and we'll be here until 6 o'clock, a full 4 hours with you on this Wednesday. And guys, I just hope everybody's doing okay back home in San Diego. I know the winds are picking up down in San Diego, which I think has everybody a little bit on edge. And there's no way we can get into this show, I don't think, without at least thinking about our neighbors to the north. I mean, these devastating fires that have already forced over 150,000 people to evacuate their homes, and the acreage that has been burned up there, and just our heartfelt thoughts go up to everybody in Los Angeles. And look, you know, it's not that far away, guys. It gets a little nerve-wracking, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. This can get scary real fast. You know, the wind is moving pretty good outside. It's not crazy right now.
It's not hot either. It's like,
I don't think the heat necessarily matters at this point. Once that once that flame gets going, the wind itself, it becomes the major issue.
My brother's a firefighter. He gave me a way too long explanation of what happened, but basically it's everybody needs to be very careful during these times. Like, don't throw things out of your window that may go into like a grassy embankment or something like that. Like, we have to be careful.
Yeah, we can't make any mistakes right now. There's no question. And I mean, I can't imagine, you know, some of the shots that we've seen I've seen, and you guys, I'm sure, on television. I mean, you know, homes along Pacific Coast Highway that just are no longer there. Palisades High School, an entire high school has basically been wiped off, you know, wiped out and no longer basically exists. And it's really scary. So our heartfelt thoughts are with everybody there. We'll try to provide a little bit of an alternative, a little break from some of that stress here for the next 4 hours. They have canceled the Kings hockey game tonight, which makes perfect sense. And the Monday night NFL playoff game is, I don't want to say it's in jeopardy, but certainly the NFL is keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, they're monitoring it
in Los Angeles. Yeah, so it's a scary situation. But with that, we try to kind of forge ahead here on this Wednesday. We got a good show lined up for you. The Aztecs are back in action tonight. They're hosting Air Force. We'll talk a little bit about that as we go along. It's a really good night in the NBA, Tony, even though nobody is watching anymore. Oklahoma City and Cleveland are matching up tonight.
Yeah.
A battle of
two of the
teams
best
with 30 plus. Yeah. One team's 30-5, the other's 31-4. They both have long winning streaks, so they're going to play tonight in Cleveland. That should be some fun. We'll talk about that. Also, we're on the eve of the college football playoff semifinal between Notre Dame and Penn State. Ohio State and Texas play on Friday. And, of course, NFL playoffs start this weekend. But, you know, everybody here wants to talk about baseball and what's going on and what's new. And, frankly, there really isn't anything new to report today, Tony.
No baseball news to really report. Last thing I think that came off the board was Justin Verlander last night. He signed with the Giants on the one-year deal. Outside of that, it's been relatively quiet.
Did you guys hear or get any sense of the wild celebration that was emanating last night from the home of one Manny Machado upon the news that Justin Verlander had signed with the San Francisco Giants?
He must have fantastic numbers.
How about 8-for-8 in his career?
He's perfect
against
what you're
Justin
saying.
Verlander with an OPS of like 2,875. I read that today and I was like, that can't be real. But I did read it somewhere, so I'm passing it along. Maybe there won't be so bad a news if Justin Verlander's come to the National League West. But yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, that was probably prime. Verlander.
A lot of it was when Manny was with the Orioles against the Verlander with the Tigers. So, yeah, I read somewhere today it was 8-for-8 in his career. I hope that stat was accurate that I'm passing along to everybody here. But
I think definitely want to mention San Diego ties. Brian
Mattis
passed away yesterday, former USD pitcher, fourth pick overall in 2008, out of USD, wasn't a cause of death given, but certainly a shock to the baseball community. It's had a couple hard ones here as of late. Obviously, Ricky Henderson passing, and Ryan Mattis is a guy that played not that long ago. Helped this USD team be one of the best teams in the country at the time when he came out. He was on the team with my man from Colorado, Chris Bryant.
Oh, the Cubs team?
Yeah, not the Cubs team, the USD team around that time.
Oh, okay.
Well, the thing with Brian Mattis, Tony, you're right. I mean, he was on the team that put USD baseball on the map.
Right.
And the year that he had in 2005 or 6 there, they made it all the way to number 8 in the country. And I don't know if you remember this, but they actually hosted Super Regionals.
I was quite
salty
about
it. They couldn't play
at
their ballpark because Fowler Park was not built at USD, so they had to ask your dad if he would mind them coming to Tony Gwynn Stadium to play the NCAA tournament. Your dad did the right thing by letting them come over and play there.
He actually had no hesitation on this. The way he viewed it was, this is good for the entire city. At that time, San Diego State hadn't quite gotten on their run yet. He knew that was just a better you get to showcase the stadium a little bit at that point. It was a win-win.
You weren't happy about this. Did you pull a Matt Scraby and tell your dad not to let them play in the stadium?
No. it didn't bother me that much.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, no, he definitely Chris said, they definitely held that tournament and Mattis was a part of that team.
And Tony, but Mattis was awesome. He was the number 4 overall pick. He didn't have an unbelievable career, but certainly 8 years with the Baltimore Orioles. And his passing is shocking. And I know, people around the USD campus today, especially in that athletic department who knew Brian Mattis, I'm sure it's a very sad day, and we pass along our thoughts to you guys as well.
Yeah.
You know, my wife told me this morning, she goes, yeah, did you hear about the pitcher on the Orioles who died? And, of course, her information was not great. She didn't remember the name.
Right.
And she said it was something like, and she didn't even come close to the last name pronunciation of Mattis. So, I was looking around online to try to find who she was talking about. And when I did find out, I was, it was very sad and shocking for sure. So, all right. Well, is there anything we can talk about that'll liven up anybody today? How about Scraby losing another fantabulous game show yesterday?
Well,
that
apparently
was
he
an
started
exciting
off,
way to finish the show.
Apparently, he started off his Scraby Chronicles complaining about how bad he was at this game.
Yeah, I took it hard yesterday. I took it hard because I definitely fancy myself a pretty smart NFL guy, and I should have had that topic because you know what? I saw the articles I just never clicked on the article about who was in the Pro Bowl. And I think the problem is I'm going to blame the actual Pro Bowl for this because no one cares about the Pro Bowl anymore. I don't know what they're doing. And so last night I battled in my head about how ugly and embarrassing that loss was.
Well, I thought you were going to complain about the people who selected the Pro Bowl in trying to say that the guys you answered Baker Mayfield, Malik Nabers.
I thought about Baker Mayfield many times last night.
All of your wrong answers last night, I think you believe, should have all been Pro Bowlers. So you could also
agree Malik Nabers and Baker Mayfield should be in the Pro Bowl?
Ahead of those dudes that we named?
I don't even remember at this point.
Yes, that's exactly.
Who are the NFC quarterbacks that made it before Baker? I remember there was one egregious one.
Jaden Daniels.
That's Jaden egregious Daniels. One.
You think that's egregious?
For Baker Mayfield, who threw 40 touchdowns and got his team into the playoffs.
You got an argument there, okay. But I don't know if it's egregious.
Chris is going back to his list right now.
I'm going back to the list. It was Jared Goff and Sam Darnold.
Sam, that's the other two. Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold had. What do you mean he had a terrific
Sam
year?
Darnold was 14-3.
If Brock Purdy's a system quarterback, then Sam Darnold is a system quarterback.
Well,
Brock Purdy made the Pro Bowl last year when he was a system quarterback.
I was just about to say that.
I don't know.
With a really good record, too, by the way. Baker squeaked into the playoffs.
I think Baker has a case with it, too.
That's right.
They went for the record. I think Baker has an argument, but I don't think he has as good an argument as Jalen Hurts has, to be honest
with
you.
That's great.
Jalen Hurts was another guy that was overlooked for the Pro Bowl.
He struggled this year at times, though, so I understand.
We got to be careful with that. We were at that point when he was struggling. I think the Eagles had one loss, and they continued to have one loss, and we continued to say how much he was struggling. And now we look up. What did they finish? What a record! What did they finish?
They finished 13-4.
13-4.
They gave away a couple games at the end.
They did.
He missed a great season.
One and a half of those too with his concussion. So, I think there's some arguments to be made, but egregious might be a little too strong.
Do you think I didn't bring this up yesterday, guys, because it would sound like sour grapes coming from a Miami fan. But I don't know any other way to bring it up. The Chiefs are taking some flack for not even remotely showing up for the last game of the regular season. Here's the question. Should a team, obviously they had clinched, but they were playing a team that hadn't clinched. So do they owe it to the integrity of the game to at least look like they're trying to win that final game of the season?
I think.
Because, I mean, I can understand sitting Mahomes out. I really can. But they sat the entire squad out, and it was really it was laughable, to be honest with you.
I think in every sport but football, that should matter. I just think the risk of even pretending like you're playing
on the football field
can – one injury can ruin a team. That's the thing, right? We watched Patrick Mahomes a couple years back, the year they lost to Tampa, like basically get his team there with no offensive line. And they couldn't win the whole thing without one piece, basically. So I understand them getting to the point. Because remember, we talked about this about 4 weeks ago before they got to this point. When we were just trying to figure out if they were going to sit Patrick Mahomes right then and there, they said no, because we want the last 2 weeks off, basically. And so they had to go through a tough 2 weeks there where they had some tough teams. They got those two victories, and this was their intent. And they made that pretty – it seemed like it was pretty obvious that's what they were shooting for. And they accomplished it. And, yes, it's unfortunate that – they played the Dolphins, who, by the way, had not clinched a spot, but also didn't start their quarterback when it was all said and done. And it sounded like, based on everything everybody else said, that if it was a playoff game, he would have played. So, I mean, maybe if you really wanted to play, or you really want to have a chance to win, Tua should have been in there.
Well, there's no question that Miami and Cincinnati have no complaint.
Tua Tagovailoa.
No, they have no complaint, because if you want to get into the playoffs and win the games prior to the final week of the season to get yourself into the playoffs, so you shouldn't be in that position. But the NFL has an issue. You're right, Tony. I don't know what they can do about it, but just think about people who live again. This is Denver fans I'm thinking of for a moment. They have to buy season tickets for 10 football games, or 11 every year. Two of them are preseason games already. Then they go to the last game of the regular season against Patrick Mahomes, the two-time champion Chiefs, and they get to see a taxi squad.
I would say,
although they were probably happy with it because it helped them get into the playoffs. But again, I mean, there's something that needs to be done, but I don't have an answer.
I think that is a risk anytime you get a football ticket to go watch an NFL team, that you're going to pick a game with the intention of seeing somebody only to find out that they can't go that week. Leading up, and you'll probably know it 2 or 3 days before you get to that game, that you've already bought a ticket that, you know what, doesn't look like what's name is going to be a go, or whoever, so-and-so, Holmes, Kelsey, whoever it is. So I think in football, outside of them flexing games, you take on a lot more risk in a game where it's a gladiator sport and dudes are crashing into each other.
But week 18 is really just almost an exhibition week. And for proof.
Unless you're trying to get into the playoffs, right.
And there's only a couple of games. But for proof that it's an exhibition week, just look at every fantasy football league around the country who plays their championship game in week 17. Because we all know that week 18 isn't a real week of NFL football.
Yeah, I mean, for the now, what, 7 teams in each side that get in versus, you know, the rest of the field. So you got the 7 that get in on each side. That's 14 teams. And then you got, how many you say, about 4 on each side that are completely out of it. That's another 8 teams. So then everybody else in between is actually playing. But more than half of the teams already have their fate sealed. Now, the bottom portion, you're still going to get something out of because they've got their guys they want to see, and those guys are out there playing hard because they're trying to earn a job for the next season. But as you said, those teams in the middle tier, the best bet is don't be in the middle tier because then your fate is going to be rested in somebody else's hands that may or may not care.
Yeah, well, I can say this about the Chief players that were trying to earn a job for next season. None of them earned one. In that loss to Denver. All right, we'll take our first break of the day. When we come back, Aztecs are home. Air Force is coming in. College basketball game. Aztecs trying to keep it rolling after a big win in Boise over the weekend. We will talk about that a little bit as Gwen and Chris gets rolling on 97.3 The Fan.
2:22 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. It's just me and Scrabe in the studio. Mr. Ello out in Reno has Lady Aztecs. What time is their game tonight?
We got 6:30 tonight in Reno. Must win. I hate to say must win in the fourth game of the league season, but they have lost 2 in a row and fallen to 1-2. 1-3 would not be good.
Yeah.
So
got off to a good start.
We'll
hit a little bit of a tough spot here. As a
little bit of a downer.
They look to try to
something
get
the men's team knows very little about. You know, that's one of the other things that's amazing about Dutcher's team, Tony. Whenever they lose a game, and, you know, they had the heartbreaker to Utah State there, they win the next game. That's another one of the magical things about that program. I believe they said the other day when they were beating Boise State that they've won 29 of their last 33 games following a loss. Yeah, that's hard to do because guys get down a little bit after a loss and, you know, somehow they're always able to come back.
I don't think that his squads get down, though. I mean, I think they know what it is if they lose a game. You know, they're going to dig into what they saw on film and they're going to address those things. That's kind of been the thing that we've seen, I think, most consistently in Dutch's time. The ability to adjust after games or after, even on games they've won and they haven't done some things or a thing specifically correct, it usually gets addressed the following game. And we've seen that all year long. And so for the Aztecs, they'll take on Air Force tonight after a big win against Boise State at a place they haven't had a lot of success in. You obviously, in these type of games, you are guarded against a little bit of a letdown. But listen, I think this Air Force team is much improved over time. They're not the Air Force of old where you could just walk in and just beat up on them. But the Aztecs will certainly look to do just that.
Well, I did read Mark Ziegler's scouting report for the game tonight, and he brings up a couple of concerns for the Aztecs. And one of the big ones is the fact that Air Force plays a matchup zone.
Mm.
And, Tony, I don't know if when you played,
yeah.
if you ever faced a matchup
it's
zone,
not fun.
It's not easy to diagnose.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why teams play it, because the offense doesn't know exactly where you're going to defend. And the Aztecs have played against two matchup zones this year, and they've been terrible in both games. One of them was a victory over UCSD that they did not perform well, and the other was the loss to Utah State when Utah State got them with that matchup zone in the second half. So that is something that they're going to focus on tonight, is trying to, you know, do better at dealing with the matchup zone that they have to face.
I mean, so often you see teams copycat what other teams have success with, and so I'm not familiar with Utah State traditionally using a matchup zone, but they certainly used it, and I was at that game. That second half of that ball game looked completely really not just the second half. It was like for the last 5 minutes of the first half all the way through the second half that it just the offense looked different. And so again, that speaks to what I said before. You know who knows that they've struggled against a matchup zone? Yeah, exactly. That staff will, you know, Dutch and that staff will certainly have these guys at least prepared to see it and be able to counter it in some regard.
We should also wish the best of luck tonight to our friends across the way at USD. They're playing at Gonzaga tonight. We're going to get into it in the Daily Gambit, but the spread is greater than 4 touchdowns, number one. Number two, you know how ESPN, the bottom line, Tony, they put up that little percentage index to win the game?
What percentage they got?
Gonzaga is greater than 99% to win the game tonight.
It's pretty much a done deal.
Not just 99%.
Greater.
Greater than 99%.
They gave the greater symbol next to the
There is a greater symbol.
So it's 99 point something.
It's 99 point something. So, you know, if USD, good luck, guys. I mean, if they could pull that one off, that would be a shocker for sure.
That would seem to be some type of record of something. I don't know if you saw this. I thought I'd bring it up as we get ready to go to break. You mentioned the college football kicking off. College football playoff, excuse me, kicking off tomorrow. Notre Dame, Penn State. Did you see the presser with the two head coaches?
I read about it.
Yeah, frankly.
It looked a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, it did. It did. It almost looked like, if you watched it, it almost looked like Franklin forgot my man for Notre Dame was next to him. Like he kind of
Marcus Freeman was sitting right there, and James Franklin is criticizing the entire Notre Dame program. Read the room, will you?
Here's both of them talking about it.
I think it should be consistent across college football.
This is James Franklin.
Again, this is no knock at Coach or Notre Dame, but I think everybody should be in a conference. I think everybody should play a conference championship game, or no one should play a conference championship game. I think everybody should play the same number of conference games. But just the numbers are going to make things more challenging if you're playing one more conference game. So I just think things need to be consistent across college football.
I got to give Marcus Freeman credit there.
He
took it.
He did.
He didn't stand up and punch him right in the face.
No, he didn't even move his face.
He didn't give him a right hook or nothing.
No.
I will say this. Although I think it was very poor in taste, I think James Franklin actually has a point, though.
I don't disagree with him either, Tony. You've got to read the room, though, better than this.
He should.
I mean, Marcus Freeman may play some of those comments before his team runs out on the field tomorrow.
For sure, and he should. He should absolutely use it to his benefit. But I do think the overall point he was making is very true. There is so much disorganization with the playoff from how you're seeding. And it's not really disorganized. It's just people are complaining about the seeding. But it is weird that some teams play conference tournaments, conference championships. Some purposely don't have it in there so that they can give them the better chance to get into the playoff. And they don't all play the same amount of games. It should really, for the playoff standard, everybody should play the same amount of conference games and the same amount and have a championship, a conference championship. I think that is fair.
They've been trying to get Notre Dame into a conference for as long as I've been alive. And I'm pretty sure the Irish are going to hold out
as long as they
because
can.
Because they're evidently more powerful than the rest of college football. I mean, honestly, why doesn't college football just tell Notre Dame, if you don't get in a conference, you're not going to be part of it? Well, because Notre Dame is that powerful.
Yeah.
And they want them a part of
they
it.
They got some pretty strong alum, I guess, that are probably connected to all of this, I assume.
I guess.
Let's get to break.
All I know is that I can't imagine Penn State winning it all, because James Franklin will probably mess something up. But I didn't realize he was going to mess something up before the game even started.
Fair enough. Let's get to break on the other side. One of us will have the wig on, one of us won't. More Sports Court when we return.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. As you can see, I was prepared to see Tony with the wig on. Not so much Scraby. You look crazy.
Tony's apparently Stevie Wonder. Right,
you look like, gosh, who do you look like?
I look like Joe Dirt with you, white hair.
You look
little
like
Joe
could,
Dirt.
You
yeah,
could have been out there with some wooden dentures back in the day right now.
Oh, yeah. I would have had the wooden dentures for sure.
Breath just funky.
Can you imagine?
We got a sports court coming up. If you were watching on the chat, you know why I'm laughing. 2:38 is the time. I will be in court, but doing it from afar here today in Reno. That is why Scraby has the wig on today. Before we get to sports court, though, our old friend John Heyman trying to stir it up a little bit with reports coming out of New York City that perhaps the Yankees are not only just interested in Luis Arraez, but might be in the process of putting together an offer for Luis Arraez. It goes something like this. Arraez would go to the Yankees, and Marcus Stroman, plus a young player, Will Warren, would come to the Padres.
And cash.
And some cash.
Yeah.
Badly needed, cold, hard suitcases full of cash.
Now,
I don't know how they say cash. I don't think any cash is actually exchanged when they do that.
But. They do it. They bring it the duffel bag.
Really?
They bring the duffel bag and drop it on AJ Preller's desk.
Here you go. Here's that $3 million we talked about in the deal.
So Cashman has it like handcuffed to his hand. They fly and they meet in Denver, and then AJ gets his hand cuffed.
Just like you see on TV.
That's amazing. I kind of want to be the security guy for this exchange.
You know, I feel like in 2025 I need to make the point that I'm just joking. It doesn't actually happen like that.
But it doesn't?
It would be kind of cool to see that go down one day.
Here's why John Heyman.
Can you imagine like the I don't know, with Soto trade, right? There's some cash, and all of a sudden Rizzo is walking on the field. He's got like three bodyguards. He's got the two duffel bags. Drop it
that
on
That would be great.
It would be kind of cool
I would
to
love
see
that. I've been watching too much FBI, which is like one of Tony and I's favorite shows, and that is what they do in FBI. It's
too
always
much,
about the cash drop.
We hear so much in these articles about cash, money being exchanged. It's just fake money because we don't ever see it.
No.
It's just out there in the ether.
That's true.
It'd be better if we had the physical form. Now, 2024 works. If they did have that, you'd have people literally willing to risk it all.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it's better this way.
I'll take a personal check for $2 million. The reason
I asked you guys what you think of getting Marcus Stroman, though, not the cash.
Oh, did you ask that?
Let me tell
that.
You why this is being suggested is because Bob Nightingale is reporting that the Yankees are, quote, actively trying to deal Marcus Stroman. I don't think Marcus Stroman likes playing for the New York Yankees. So would you, Chris, would you make that trade, Luis Arraez for Marcus Stroman and Will Warren plus cash?
I wouldn't be able to do it in a vacuum. I'd have to do it in concert with some other deals. I believe if I got Marcus Stroman, now I'd be more inclined to trade Dylan Cease, and I would, you know, wait to see what I could get for him. But no, just adding Marcus Stroman to the staff and losing Luis Arraez from the lineup, I don't think is a good exchange personally.
Tony.
Similar to what Chris said, I'm very fond of Luis, but I also am fond of having some starting pitching. And Stroh, say what you will, the guy can pitch some innings. And if you're telling me that the Padres are able to sign Sasaki and maybe get Stroman to kind of round out that rotation.
Well, here's why cash is going to be involved, too. Marcus Stroman is going to make $18 million this coming year. So that's why the cash is there.
You might get to see the duffel bag after all.
Like $8 million of cash.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that shouldn't be a surprise, right? I mean, the Marlins basically paid for Luis to be here, you know?
And yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't like the deal, but I understand it if it has to be done.
All right, we are going to move on into our sports court. I ask for everybody's attention in the courtroom, and I call on judges Stevie Wonder and Joe Dirt.
Yes, thank you.
For the beginning of today's proceedings.
Do you have a sports issue, San Diego? Do you need a third party to make a decision? The guys have put on their robes and picked up their gavels.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
Gwen and Chris, Sports Court, starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hold up, Bailiff. I just want to make a point. I am not blind. I just wanted to have something that looked close to Mr. Yes. Scravia, and this is the best I can come with. This is the cool version.
Yeah. I love this long hair. I have great hair, but I can't grow long hair. I grow out hair like I'm Toad from Mario Brothers.
You grow an afro.
I grow a helmet. Like, it's not even an afro. It's like just a hard shell of hair.
Scraby, you look so ridiculous right now, I can't even take my eyes off you. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right, here we go. We got a couple from Reddit today.
My favorite are from Reddit.
I need the people to start sending me stuff.
Reddit is a wild place.
It is. It really is.
That's why I enjoy their questions so much.
Like, all the ones I read, I'm like, I can't say this on the air. I can't talk about this on the air. So, this first one is actually something I made up because it has to do with the NFL. And the 49ers have...
When you say made up, what do you mean?
Like, I just basically made up this question because I wanted to get your guys' opinion on this.
Fair enough.
It didn't make the Big Five, but it made Sports Court. The 49ers fired their defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen, after one season in the role, and he worked his way up to the DC role over the last couple years. The statement said that they are hoping to retain him in a different role. So my question, guys, we're going to look through Nick Sorensen's perspective. And Chris, since it's Wednesday, you're up first. Would you be insulted to be demoted and offered a lesser position in the same organization?
Depended what the bag of cash looked like. It comes with
cash isn't as much as you think. It actually comes with a pay cut, Chris.
Well, I'm sure it comes with a pay cut, but I mean, if that pay cut is from $4 million a year to $2 million a year, I'm probably going to consider this. And the reason I'm going to consider it is because I can't make that kind of money anywhere else in the real world. So,
what about a new team?
When you're talking about the sports world, I think it's something you have to keep in mind. I think anybody in this position, though, would love to, if they are honestly demoted, would like to immediately go out and find another place of employment. It's not always easy to do, though.
So. No, it's not. Tony, would you be insulted if you got fired and they asked you to move to a different role in the organization, a lesser role?
If I was a prideful man, maybe. However, sometimes it's you got to check your pride. It's not, these jobs don't grow on trees, despite what we have to say.
There's 32 of them. Yeah,
and so. And there's no guarantee once you're out the door you can get back in. If you shake your head like that, your hair like that, one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm not talking about that.
Okay, now you look like Kylie the dog shaking off when she's off taking a walk.
He put his chin in the air and like...
I know.
It was pretty ridiculous.
He looks so crazy.
Prideful man.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I think, as you said, he came up in this group, with this group. Kind of moved his way up the ladder.
Well, he's coached for Seattle. He'd just been in San Francisco for the past three seasons, one season as a defensive
coordinator. Might like it there. You know what I'm saying? Like, if a guy is willing to stay after you've demoted him, That probably means he's still well regarded in the building and likes the workspace he's in. So your question was,
would you be insulted?
I think initially I would be, but then if I saw that it was still the right fit and I was still happy, I would move on off my.
I'll tell you why he should be insulted. His defense was not bad last year. If you look at all the stats in the end,
and he didn't even have all his weapons.
They were top 10 in
either.
yards allowed. They had three bad games at the end of the year.
They had my man Campbell, who quit on them as
Devondre.
as their one of their main linebackers. Had a career season.
Didn't have his best linebacker in Dre Greenlaw on the field all year.
Who, by the way, is a huge piece to that.
Huge piece. I really think that he should be insulted, and he's not going to take this.
You don't think he's going to take it?
I don't think he's going to
take
it.
Well, I think that would answer all of our questions, then. Like, maybe he wasn't happy there, and
I think he got a bad rap, and
it's called a scapegoat, is what they do.
Yeah, him and the special teams coordinator are the scapegoats of the 49ers for this year. So, all right, next one. I don't want to put my friend down, but I came to Reddit with an anonymous account to get some advice. We're in college now and played high school baseball together. He was a pitcher in high school and a pretty good one, but not one of those guys who's going to a big school. He could have went to some junior colleges, but he has been set on making this team at our college. He still goes to the high school and throws and continues to work hard, but I don't have the heart to tell him he probably doesn't have it at this level. My girlfriend said I was a hater, and if he wants to keep trying, then just let him. I am stuck because I am his friend and I don't want to see him continuing down this path. Tony, am I a hater if I tell my friend his subpar pitching skills aren't going to get him to the majors?
Whew. Is that his goal, is to get to the majors? Or does he just want to get a chance to get drafted?
I just think he thinks that he's a top level pitcher.
And he's saying he's not good enough to be on the JUCO team.
He said he could have played for JUCO, but he's not good enough. I'm guessing this is like a D2 or D1 school that they're going to.
Okay, well, and he's there at the D1 or D or the D2.
They go to school there, and he's like trying to make the team somehow.
Let him try to make the team.
Really?
Yes, because if he doesn't make the team, guess what that'll be for him?
A wake-up call?
Oh, there you go. you cannot force these things on people, unfortunately. If a dude is willing, even though you may feel like, man, this is embarrassing, you shouldn't go out there. If he's willing to go out there and forego the embarrassment, let him go out there. What's the worst thing you have? He gets cut, and then he finds out, you know, maybe it's time for me to look in a different direction.
All right. I knew Tony was going to have a different view on this. But
I'm just saying, it's especially at that, you know, JUCO age, college age, the fact that he's, you know, there, D2, D3, whatever we're talking about, I don't think there's nothing wrong with letting him give it a shot.
Chris, is he a hater if he tells his friend his subpar pitching skills aren't going to get him to the majors?
Yes, to answer
absolutely. Absolutely he is. And not only does this message go for him, but it goes for any parent that might be listening to the sports court today. If your child happens to think that they are good at anything, it is your job and solely your job to give them the kind of support that they ask for and desire and try to help them become the best they can be. And if they eventually are not able to accomplish something that you think is out of reach, it's your job to be there to catch them and help them land softly when they don't reach their goals. But it is not your job to tell them ahead of time that they can't do it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Sorry. That's just this guy's a total hater.
The real world is already harsh enough. You know, don't end something before it has to be ended. If it even has to be ended.
Jocelyn says, leave him alone and just talk trash behind his back like everyone else, bro. That's a good point, Jocelyn. All right, here we go.
And that goes for you parents, too. If you want to talk trash behind your kid's back,
yeah, when you guys, when mom and pops get into the room, y'all can have
that.
Right. Go to work.
Oh, my God. He thinks he's going to be a singer? Ah, you kidding me?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Remember when all those people told me, Scrappy, you're never going to be on the radio?
I know somebody told you that before.
Oh, many people told me that. You're not smart enough.
Sorry, my hair's in my mouth. Yeah.
My hair's in my mouth, too. You're not funny enough. You're not good enough. Guess what?
Maybe we...
I am!
Maybe we should have listened to those people in the first place. Where are they now?
I wouldn't be sitting here today if I listened to those people. All right, this next one is actually from a fan. Goes like this. I am a season ticket holder of 4 Padres tickets for each home game through the year. I guess I'm technically not the actual season ticket holder, but there are 4 couples who go together, and we have a calendar and all that. So basically they go 2 and 2, and they just keep going throughout the year, mixing up the couples. The problem is this. One of the couples dropped out due to the cost, so we needed to pick up another couple, and that person whose name is on the account found a couple, but they're a Dodgers couple.
Ooh.
I do not want to sit next to a Dodgers fan when I go to games this year.
Whoa.
I am fine with Dodgers fans buying tickets, but I don't see why we can't have our season tickets be our Padres season tickets only.
I can't wait to throw this.
I actually offered to find another couple, but the Dodgers people are already locked in and made their deposit. Chris,
what?
My wife says, get over it. Should I get over it, Chris?
No, you should not get over it. You should never go to another game.
No.
This is a really bad one. I can't believe. What were you doing while the other couple was giving these tickets away to Dodger fans?
For real.
How did you not have a say in the matter?
Well, I did talk to this person a little bit. They don't own the tickets. They're just one of the couples that buys into the tickets. So technically, they can't do anything about it.
Ah, this is a big old.
So,
man, it's a bad spot you got yourself into then.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I may have to throw this one out of the courtroom just because I may not be able to solve this issue for you.
Throwing it out of the courtroom?
Yeah, it's just too. No, I am.
All right, Tony. While Chris
I'm
is struggling
on my
over
duty
there,
here. I am. I'm really struggling with this.
Tony, what are we doing with this? Should he get over it?
Yeah, he should. You don't own the tickets, brother. You were invited into this ticket. And although you pay your portion, you still were a guest invited in on these tickets.
Yeah.
And because of that, you don't get to say and ultimately who is going to pay the other half. Now, there's a simple solution. Buy your own tickets. I know they're pricey, but at least you get to control who's sitting next to your... You won't have Dodger fans sitting next to you, most likely. So, you know, it's a tough one, man. I get it. I get not wanting to. The good thing is, they don't play the division as much anymore, so you only got, like, what, two series at home? 3 series at home?
Yeah,
two and
like
a half,
that.
Something
yeah.
around there. So, you know, if for tickets, you're going to get to watch a lot more baseball without those Dodger fans, so I still think it's a benefit to you, but this is hang with them, man.
Hang with
them. We got to throw this one out the court.
All right, throwing out of court. Last one real quick. A golf question for you guys. I have a friend, and we play golf as much as we can. He does one thing I haven't called him out for yet because I still beat him all the time. Whenever he hits a ball in the bushes, about 9 times out of 10, he finds it. I suspected this is a problem, so I've been putting a small dot on the ball to track if he actually found his ball that he teed off with.
What's this guy lying?
Here's the thing. Out of the 5 times I've checked, 4 times
he's got
a new ball. Should I call him out, Chris?
Absolutely.
Or Tony. Tony.
Absolutely. You Chris. Should call him out.
You're not cheating. You're not trying.
Ah.
Bogey golf, baby.
Oh, I've met this guy before. You've sliced it 90 or 100 yards out of bounds, but you find your ball? That's very strange to me. Yeah, you got to tell him. All right. That's
you
it
have
for
far
sport.
Too much reverence for the game of golf, Scraby. You really do.
Too much.
I love
We're
golf.
We're not professionals out here. Just let us
let
play.
Let us live.
Let's play bogey golf.
Hater.
Daily Gambit next.